Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 58, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Ye gates, lift your heads, the glad summons obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way. The King of all glory, high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 58. Scripture reading for this evening can be found in the Gospel according to Luke in the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 36 to the end. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, we may in this work day gather together for a special service of commemoration concerning the ascension of thine only begotten Son. Then it behooved thee to send him forth, and it behooved thee to come, even in the human nature upon this world, here to perform what was necessary in the salvation of thy true church. Lord, it has pleased thee to do so, though thy people did not deserve it, though they deserved only to live out that curse that thou hadst pronounced in paradise. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. They deserved that they should forever and ever remain sent out of thy communion and favor. But it has pleased thee to look upon thy people and to do for them what they did not deserve, but also what they could not do for themselves. May thou give instruction unto thy church also this day, that is still here below. It is a church militant, and thou hast ascended again on high, and who hast left thy church yet here a little while upon this earth. Thou dost promise that thou wilt come again, and that thou wilt take them unto thyself in glory. And Lord, thou knowest who that they are, and that these matters are so high for them, because they can hardly believe that they are to be included in that great work which thou hast accomplished. Lord, so many questions and riddles can lie in the heart of thy afflicted and poor people. Then so often it is for others, but it is not for me. Oh, may thou give instruction unto each and every one of thy own, because there is also the hypocrite who takes all to himself. Lord, then the one he ought to be on the outside, and the other on the inside. But Lord, wilt thou thyself give to the afflicted ones a little eye to behold thee, and what thou hast done not only in thy deep humiliation, but also what thou hast done in thy exaltation, and what this means for thy dear people who cannot bring themselves into thy blessed communion, and who fear to be forever and forever cast away as they so justly deserve. Lord, may thou then undeceive those of us who may deceive ourselves, but may thou give a little light and the inshining of thy Holy Spirit upon the life of those who are on the outside and who are unable to bring themselves on the inside. And may thou so lead thy church who are as wandering sheep, always away from that great shepherd, but that thou may go after them to bring them back again. Lord, we beseech thee, and that thou may also look upon us from on high, thou who art ascended in thy glory, but thou who also dost build thy church by the sending forth of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, may it please thee to come even in this evening hour, to give that new ones may be born into that church, that they may be born in Zion. That is that work that needs that power of him to whom all power was given in heaven and in earth. Lord, may it be experienced in our midst, even in this evening hour, that new ones may be born again, and not only amongst us, but may it be over the length and breadth of the whole world. Lord, could it please thee from thy place also to send forth more servants into thy vineyard? May it be even amongst us as a denomination in the weeks that are to come, And when as a curatorium we hope to meet, Lord, thou art over everything, and thou art able to speak and to say, go, and then they must go. Oh, that thou would gladden us by thy deeds, and may it be even over the length and the breadth of the whole world, and that thy truth, Lord, may still be found in many places in this world, and that men may be born into thy kingdom that will come, and that they may also sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and even with thee in the kingdom of God. And so do remember thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of this whole world, whom thou hast promised, that thou would be with even unto the end of the world. Lord, may thou show it. May thou make it evident in instructing and in giving us thy Holy Spirit in a double measure, that we may know how to instruct thy people, that we may know how to lead them from step to step, but also that we may be given to preach for the conversion of many. Lord, look upon us, and all those that are afflicted, may thou supply for all the sick ones, and those that are not able to be with us in this evening, give unto them health and strength again. And Lord, may thou look upon all those that are lonely, those that are old, widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that have special needs and cares known unto thee. Wilt thou look upon us in this evening? Spread thy wings over us. Give us freedom and liberty in the preaching of thy word. And may it be that one word may enter for true conversion. Lord, forgive all that is sinful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 45, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Now the King in thy strength shall be joyful, O Lord. Thy salvation shall make him rejoice. For the wish of his heart thou didst freely accord, the request of his suppliant voice. We have one announcement. We wish to have a short meeting with the male members after this service. Psalter 45, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. congregation, with what a glory were the kings of this world received by the people when they would return after they were victorious in the battle. We read, boys and girls, of David after that he had gone to fight against Goliath, and that the Lord had wrought such a great victory, and that the women, they came out, and they were dancing and they were singing because of this blessed victory. That glory of the kings of this world, that is but a very short picture, a very little picture, a very frail picture of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he has also gone forth as a king, as the king of his own church. He has gone forth to war, a great warfare. And when he was come from that warfare, and he had received the victory, then we can read of the rejoicing of the heavenly hosts when he has been received again unto his own place. That glory. And we can read that the psalmist has written about in Psalm 24. Lift up thy head, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Thus the Lord Jesus, coming from his warfare, and now receiving the very crown of all of his labors, received as the ascended king, God gone up with a shout. He is received with the voice of the trumpet. Therefore he said to his disciples, if ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I say that I go unto my Father, because my Father, he says, is greater than I. And that rejoicing, that was not only for himself, but that ascension, just as his coming into this world, was not for himself, but that was for his church. And this we wish to consider together for a few moments in this evening hour, out of that portion that we have read together, Luke 24, verses 50 through 53. Luke 24, verses 50 through 53. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So far the words of our text. The ascension of Christ. First, the leading to it. Second, the blessing in it. And third, the rejoicing over it. The ascension of Christ, the leading to it. Second, the blessing in it. And third, the rejoicing over it. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. Bethany, that was a well-known place for the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Here it is not actually speaking about the town of Bethany, but it is speaking about the region that was round about Bethany, which was often also called Bethany. This place was only about 1 mile from the city of Jerusalem. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. The Lord Jesus has walked for 3 years with his disciples. For 3 years, the Lord Jesus has led his disciples. And he led them out. And for 3 years, these disciples, they have followed the Lord Jesus. They have not lacked anything in those 3 years. When they were hungry, then the Lord Jesus has provided for them an abundance of food and drink. And when there were riddles lying in their heart, they may ask him questions. And when he told parables and they did not understand, then we read that he expounded the meaning of these parables unto his own disciples. Thus, for 3 years, and the disciples of the Lord Jesus have been led by him, and they have followed him. They've been instructed by him in his talk and also by his walk. We know that in those years that these disciples, they had often so many questions, so many riddles. There were so many things that the disciples did not understand about this way in which the Lord was leading them. Not everything the Lord Jesus said is profitable that he should tell them, that he should reveal to them immediately. Many things he says, I have to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. What I do, thou knowest not thou now, but thou shalt know hereafter. So many of these things, they would have to wait until later for the disciples. How different was their expectation than was actually the reality of that way that the Lord Jesus was leading them. And when the Lord Jesus would lead them, and later on they will come to the end of their life, and they will come to the end of that journey by which he is leading them, and they are going to take a look back again, then they are going to marvel. They will marvel at two things: at their own ignorance, at their own foolishness, and at the wisdom of the Lord, and all that way that the Lord has led them, when they may see how good and how right that those ways of the Lord are. And so that was not only for those disciples, but that was and that is and that remains for that true church of God, that they are led in ways that they do not understand. The blind being led in a way that they do not know. They are experiencing the leadings of the Lord in their life, but they do not have the explanation of those leadings. Then the Lord is not telling them what all these leadings mean for them. Sometimes maybe it is that they are even within and maybe even without rebelling against these leadings of the Lord. And what is now that instruction that the Lord has to give unto his people? That is, that they may only follow him in those leadings. Is that not a blessed life? And they do not need to know the way. Then they only need to follow. That is such a blessed way. Because when we do not know even what that next step is in our life, then when we may only follow, then we may be sure of the end of our journey. Thus, what a blessed people. And he led them. Congregation, is the Lord also leading us? And he led them out as far as to Bethany. So they go. Just like a little sheep, he is following that shepherd. Is there not a simplicity in it? A simplicity in it that is so desirable? And he led them out as far as to Bethany. Desirable place as a little child, as a maidservant is looking unto the hand of her master. The disciples have no idea of the next step in their life. Do they know, boys and girls, what is going to happen? Or they have no idea. In these moments, when they are being led by the Lord Jesus, they have no idea what is next going to be taking place. How do we know that? They ask a question, and sometimes our questions, they betray what our ignorance is. And what was that question that the disciples are asking the Lord Jesus immediately before that he is ascending into heaven? Then they ask him, "Wilt thou at this time restore again that kingdom unto Israel?" Oh, how we see what that is in the life of that true church of God. And what an ignorance that lies within their heart. Who of us knows, congregation, the next step in our natural life? Who of us knows what is going to take place in this evening, in the day of tomorrow? No, that is hidden unto us. And we are planning, yes, but we cannot fulfill those plans. We cannot bring those plans to pass. Man proposes, we say, but God, he is disposing. How is that then in that spiritual life? Sometimes the people of the Lord think that they do know where that it is even that they need to come. Because they are instructed in the ways of the Lord, how the Lord is leading his own church, his children. But even if and they may know where they need to be brought, they still do not know how that they ever can be brought into such a place. Certainly, they are not able to bring themselves in that place where they need to come. No, the Lord is working in a mysterious way, his own wonders to perform. The Lord, we say, he is a surprising God, and that is what the church is finding out time and time again in their life. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. He led them And so it remains also today. That leading of the Lord that is experienced by every one of that true church. So we ask, do we know something then of that leading of the Lord? And that leading of the Lord that does not begin here at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that leading of the Lord that is starting somewhere else. And that leading of the Lord that will be evident even in what that people experience before they experience something of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. Before that they experience something of Christmas in their heart. Before that they experience something of the incarnation of that Son of God. Because where then will the Lord lead them? Then the Lord will lead them into the knowledge of themselves. Then the Lord will show them some of that darkness that was there before that He came into this world. The Lord will lead them into the cause of that darkness, what that is. That it is because of their own sin. The Lord will lead them into the impossibility of taking away that darkness and to make light to shine within their hearts. The Lord will lead them to show them how bitter that sin is. Judas experienced this. But what may Judas not experience? Judas may not experience what that true church experiences when the Lord is leading them into that knowledge of self. And what is that? That is repentance. Because that was so bitter for Judas. Can you imagine that, young people, what that was for him? That I have sinned against innocent blood. What a bitter thing. And sin that is bitter. And the experience of sin is bitter. But do you know what Judas missed? He missed the sweetness. Say, sweetness. Yes, the sweetness. Because when the Lord is leading His own people into the knowledge of their sin, then they must not only experience that bitterness that Judas had to experience, but then they may also experience a sweetness. And what is that sweetness that Judas did not know? That sweetness that is in true repentance. That sweetness is in that true turning. That sweetness that is in the sorrow for sin and leaving the paths of sin that we may return unto God again. These are the leadings of the Lord unto all His church. And if that is now sweet, if that is now sweet to be led a little into the way of repentance, then how sweet must that not be when the Lord is opening up to that people something of a way that they can be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when it is sweet to repent, even when we cannot see that way to be saved, then how good it is when the Lord is showing us something of that birth of the Lord Jesus Christ within our heart. When the Lord is revealing unto that people in their impossibility that there is a way open for such a wretched, a miserable creature as they are in themselves. Simeon rejoiced when he saw that little child. What did he say? For mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Oh, what a rejoicing. Is that not then a blessed leading of that blessed people of the Lord? And when they may be led by the Lord himself, that is a rejoicing that is not known in this world. That is a rejoicing that is known only by those who are led by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he led them as far out as to Bethany. Thus he led them further than this, the perfecting of that work of grace that is not completely finished, that is not completely accomplished in the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was that advent? That advent was for him a preparation for his mediatorial labors. In his active and in his passive obedience. And that is so not only in his life, but that is so also in the life of those who are being led by him. That is also in the experience of those who may follow him. Thus, the revelation of Christ, that is not the same thing as the possessing of him. So we see that that church needs to be led. That church needs to be led further. And he led them as far out as to Bethany. What is the expectation of that young church? Oh, that is an expectation that is so strong because the love is so strong and because the zeal in the heart of that church is strong, so that they are thinking to go from strength to strength. And congregation, nothing ought to be taken away from this, from that true church. A little child, he plays so joyfully. And we do not lay on a little child the burdens that lay upon the parents, the concerns that lay upon the parents. The shoulders of a little child are not fit to bear such a great burden. No, but it is fitting to leave that little child to play when he is young. And then he will begin to get older. And then as he becomes older, then he is going to experience more and more slowly in this life something of the curse that the Lord has pronounced against man because of sin. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. As we grow up, young people, then more and more, then we begin to see things as they really are. Then we had such a positive view of this life, of this world. But the longer that we live, the more that we are disappointed. Disappointed with the expectations that we had from all that is here below. So that is in our life. But that is not only in our natural life, but that is so also in the life of God's true children. How was that in the life of the disciples? They are being led. And they are being led from step to step by the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of that flock. And they are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And their expectations, they are so great. When they are called by Him and they may believe that He is the true King of Israel, then how did that go in their life? Then we see that all their expectations, those that were false expectations, slowly those expectations are being broken down. It was for them a life of such great disappointment. Then all of the people, they did not continually gather more and more around the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus accept this honor so that He would sit on the throne as a king? No. But then they begin to see the enmity. See the enmity of the pious world, the religious world of their day, the enmity of the Pharisees, the enmity of the scribes. And slowly those expectations, they are being broken down. Even it has to go through the way of death. That is how He led them. And He led them as far as to Bethany. But that way, even that had to go through death. Was not the end. No, that death, they had to experience that in the leadings of the Lord. When He led them, then they had to experience that death, that would be the way unto life. So are those leadings. That church also must experience that it goes through the way of death. Not that it may be the end, no, but that it may be unto life. He that shall lose his life for My sake, even he shall find it. And He led them as far as to Bethany. In the resurrection of Christ is the justification of the church of God. Then to experience something of what that Easter is. And then we have to experience with Paul that he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. But we go with the disciples. After that time of the resurrection, the Lord Jesus, He begins to wean them from His physical presence. He withdraws Himself. He is not there all the time the way that He was before. He comes and then He is gone again. Thus in those 40 days, then He is leading that church. And then that church needs to learn to live a different life from before. That is a life not of the senses, but that they have to learn to live by faith. In such a tender way, the Lord Jesus is preparing the disciples for His going away. Before that He died, He told them He was going. After He arose, and then He prepared them even in this physical way. And how shall these disciples now ever live without the Lord Jesus? Or ask that to that young church who may feel something Sabbath by Sabbath day of his presence and of his nearness, and that are being led by him, that how shall they ever live in a different way? They would say it is impossible. Up to this time, the disciples did not know any other life. But now in those 40 days, the Lord makes his disciples to think again by times of all the things that the Lord Jesus has said to them when he was with them. And they begin to remember and they begin to speak about all of those things. And now the Lord Jesus, in the end, he reminds them of his words, and he reminds them of his own promise. That is now that new way that they must learn to live, to rest upon his promise. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. On this they must live. On this they must learn to wait. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. What a blessed leading of that church of God. Congregation, do we know anything of that leading of the Holy Spirit of the Lord that is so contrary to the expectations of that people through perplexities, through riddles? However, that is also so full of comfort. That is a way that in which they may receive hope, in which they may receive expectation. Blessed are the people who are led by him. Do you believe that also? That may learn to watch his leadings. May you watch his leadings, people of the Lord. And may you follow him in those leadings. But now the time comes that the Lord Jesus must leave his disciples and ascend into heaven. And we want to consider in our second thought the blessing in his ascension. And we read, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Congregation, it is striking to hear how many people in this world do speak about the blessings of the Lord. That say the Bible that is full of the blessings of the promises of the Lord. And so it is. On the other hand, you hear very, very seldom of those that speak about the curses that are written in the scriptures. That you would think there was not one of them written in the whole Bible. When sin entered into this world, then our first parents had not to do with the blessings of the Lord anymore, but with the curse of the Lord. And when sin is experienced in its reality, in its awfulness, in the heart of those who are born again, then we will not have to do with the blessings of the Lord either, but with the curses that are written in that book of God. By nature, we feel no need for the blessings of the Lord. Yes, we say that well with our mouth often, but if we are honest, we can leave the Lord well enough in his place. We do not need his blessing because we can do it all with our own hands.
But it is now by the leading of the Lord, it is now by the working of that Holy Spirit of the Lord, that the blessing of the Lord that is becoming so necessary, so precious to us in our life. Oh, did we ever see a blessedness in the blessing of the Lord? That we say we need that blessing of the Lord. We read of Aaron that he lifted up his hands and that he blessed the people. That was the work of the priesthood. And they would lift up their hands and they would bless the people. We read in the name of the Lord. But what always took place before the blessing, you know that, boys and girls? What had to happen first? Well, first, there had to be a sacrifice. First, the lamb is laid on that altar. He is slain. He is offered before the Lord. And after that sacrifice, then the priest, he may raise his hand and he may bless that people in the name of the Lord. Without that sacrifice, there can be no blessing. Without that sacrifice, there can only be curses that are still laying on that people of the Lord. And now we read in our text that the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up his hands and blessed them. When? After his own sacrifice. After he has taken away all the sin of his true church, then it was possible that he may bless that people. Thus, the blessing of the Lord for that church that is founded, that is grounded on that mediatorial suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is now finished, and nothing remains but for the Lord Jesus to raise his hands and to bless his people. That is, nothing now remains. After he has said it is finished, nothing remains but that blessing now must be poured out upon that church. Aaron was but a man. And he may bless the people in the name of the Lord, but it was impossible for him to give that blessing unto the people. The Lord Jesus Christ was also a man. But the Lord Jesus was no mere man. Thus, what did he say? He said, all power that is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Thus, he has the authority to bless. He is that high priest of his church. But he also has the power to bless. Therefore, congregation, it is not without meaning. It is not without great significance that the Lord Jesus lifts up his hands in blessing of his own church. He has the right to do it. He has the power to do it. And he has a desire to do it. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Those disciples do not stand under those blessing hands as individuals. How do we know that? The Lord Jesus spoke to them. What did he say to them? You know it too, boys and girls. He said, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world.
Will the disciples live to the end of the world? No. Thus it is not only with his disciples, but that is that he is with his truly sent servants, and that he is with his church unto the end of the world. And we have then a further confirmation when we read the Lord Jesus lifted up his hands and he blessed them, but that those hands, they are never taken back. Thus, he begins to bless them on the earth, and he continues to bless them in heaven. Congregation, is there a people to whom the blessing of the Lord is everything in your life? That is not only for temporal things. Blessed are they. Yes, not with riches, maybe, but their bread shall be given them and their water that shall be sure. Congregation, is there a people that are not able to do without the spiritual blessings of the Lord? Say that is not a light matter, that the Lord Jesus, when he has ascended, that he lifted up his hands and that he blessed them. Because in that blessing is contained the whole salvation of his church. And that blessing is contained, their regeneration, their justification, their sanctification, their complete redemption. In that blessing is also contained the application unto that church, so that there will be a people that do proclaim with wonder, not only for others, but also for me. Oh, Jacob could not do without that blessing of the Lord. Therefore, he said, therefore we read, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Is that only when we are older? Children, young people? That was not only when he was older that he could not do without the blessing of the Lord. Is that so in your life? Is that something that we may read tonight, that he lifted up his hands and that he blessed them? Jacob was young already when he needed that blessing of the Lord. Oh, then he could do without the things of this world. With Esau it was different. He desired the things of this life. And he has rejected the spiritual blessing, because that blessing of the birthright that included the priesthood that belonged before that the Lord had set that tribe of Levi apart, that belonged unto the oldest son in that family, the head of the house when his father would pass away, but also that priesthood. And I was despised by Esau, but already in his youth, Jacob, he was seeking for that blessing of the Lord. Sell me thy birthright. And that was so necessary for him. Swear unto me, he said. People of the Lord, can you not do without the favor and the communion of the Lord? We read here that Christ, he was carried up into heaven. That was not only an act of his own power, but that was also an act of his Father. He was carried up. What does that speak of? That speaks of the satisfaction of his Father.
and the receiving of him again. And to what was the Lord Jesus lifted up? Well, he was lifted up unto great glory. If the angels have sung at his incarnation, at his coming into this world, how much more have they not rejoiced when he returned victorious from that battle with that prince of darkness? And we read also that he shall so come in like manner as he has gone into heaven. That is how in power, in great glory, the chariots of God, they are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is with them. But now especially, he is lifted up into that precious communion with his Father. There was a time that he has cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now what do we read? That he is carried up. That is evidence that that communion was again restored unto him. Why? For himself? No, for his church. Thus, what a great blessing is couched in that ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. What greater blessing, congregation, can we desire in our life than the restoration with that blessed communion with the Lord? When something of that is understood and experienced in our life, then it is understandable that those disciples, they return as they do. Let us sing first, Psalter 129, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 5. Rejoice, ye people, homage give to God with voice of triumph sing. He ruleth in dread majesty, the great, the universal King. 1:3-5 of Psalter 129.
Our last thought, rejoicing over the ascension of Christ, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. And they worshipped him. Congregation, may we ever worship him, not out of form, not out of custom, but may we ever worship him in spirit and in truth. These disciples, they are evermore confirmed in that divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we read that that cloud that receives him out of their sight, and yet they worship him. All that did not take them out of his sight. This they knew. This they felt. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. What a beautiful psalm that David composed upon the carrying back of the ark of the Lord into Jerusalem. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. That ark that was a symbol of the presence of God, Jehovah. That ark was the evidence that the Lord had given to the Old Testament people that he would dwell even in the midst of that people. That remained with them as they took their journey through the wilderness, that went in with them actually into that land of Canaan. But that ark also came outside of that land of Israel. The Philistines, they brought that ark away and they set that ark before Dagon, their god. That was their evidence that their God, he was stronger than that God of Israel. How mistaken that they were. Dagon, he had to bow before that ark of the Lord. No one can stand in his presence. That carrying away of that ark of the Lord in that Old Testament Israel was a sign of how deeply the children of Israel had fallen away. But that state of humiliation, as it were, that would not last forever. The children of Israel could make no change in this, but the Lord himself would see to it that that ark that would be brought back again unto that people of the Lord, it would again be exalted and it would be again set in its place. And then we see David. And David is rejoicing when that ark may finally come into its place again. He is dancing with we read before the Lord with all his might. And who was so glad, children, with David? His wife, Michal? Is she glad with David? No, she is not so glad. How glorious was the king today, who has uncovered himself in the eyes of the maidservants. No, Michal was not glad. Who was glad? Those lowly, those simple people. Those maidservants, those simple maidservants. They were glad. With whom that king was glad to rejoice.
They were glad even as that king was glad, and that king even as king was willing to bring himself into the midst of that people and to rejoice with that people. He even says, I will be even more vile than thus. Why? Because it was before the Lord. Therefore, David rejoiced. That return of that ark, that was a blessed type of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ once again into heaven. And when he is ascended into heaven, who is now made so glad? It was not the Pharisees and not the scribes and not the council and not the Sanhedrin, no. But it was those simple people. It was those poor fishermen, the disciples of the Lord Jesus. That was not always so. No, he had said to them that he was going to go away. And when he said to them that he was going to go away, no, they were not glad at all. They did not understand it. It was even very offensive unto them. But now it becomes true what the Lord Jesus said to them. And what did he say to them? You now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And he says, your joy no man taketh from you. And now it becomes true. Oh, they have received the instruction of the Lord Jesus. They have been led by the Lord Jesus step by step, even as that whole church of God. And now they are given instruction, and they are given also that faith that they are able to miss him in his bodily presence. And they are given faith in exercise, so that even when he is going away, they may worship him and they may return into Jerusalem with joy. Why? Because with his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, they may believe with all their heart he is no time absent from us. People of the Lord, what is now that first thing, that first need, that first desire that was planted in your heart in the day that the Lord stopped you in this world? What became that day your longing? Was that not that you began to miss him whom you left? Was it then not that you desired that you may come and that you may return into his communion and into his favor once again? What does now the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? What does that speak of? That speaks about restored communion. It is true that the ways of the Lord, when he has led you, that they have gone through the deep, that they have gone through ways that your mind did not understand, that they have gone through ways that your flesh that even rebelled against. But where does it end? It ends in restored communion. And he that was made so precious and so necessary and so suitable to your soul, he is now dwelling at the right hand of him whom you began to desire in that day that the Lord stopped you in your life. He is dwelling now at his right hand. and that now makes your end so sure. Why? Because who can separate the true church of God from that love of Christ? No, when he is sitting at the right hand of his Father, then he sits there on behalf of that people who cannot miss his Father. Is that also our life? Then our end is sure. And who will rejoice in it? It will be those simple people. It will be those poor people in themselves. And they shall rejoice in it, and their rejoicing shall not be put to shame. Congregation, what does the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ mean unto us? Say that it's for God's people. And I am unconverted. Oh, does that mean then nothing unto us? We ask you, you know, what was it that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to do just before that he ascended into heaven? He commanded them to preach the gospel to every creature. And he promised them, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And you know what we read? We read that they went and they preached everywhere. And that the Lord blessed them, and that he confirmed his word with signs following, with signs following. What were those signs? Upon the preaching of the word, who now can give an answer? What were the signs that followed the preaching of the word? They were true conversions. That was now the promise of the Lord. As he has ascended into heaven, and his hands, they are still stretched out. They're still stretched out. Over whom? You say they are stretched out over his church. That is true. That is true. But they are also still stretched out over his truly sent servants. Why? That he may bless and that he may confirm his word with signs following. Or is that not a wonder that he has lifted up his hands and that he has blessed them? Think about it. Consider it. Is that not now an encouragement to use those means of grace with great diligence? May you not then go upon your own knees in your own secret chamber. Say, Lord, we read it in thy word that thou hast stretched out thy hands to bless thy church and the preaching of thy servants. Lord, Wilt thou bless it also unto me? That ascended Christ, he is all knowing. He knows everything that is in our heart. He also knows the troubles, the difficulties, and the impossibilities also to be converted. And Aaron could give it to no one, but that ascended Christ, to whom all power has been given in heaven and in earth. He is able to give it, to build up his church even to the end of the world, congregation, young and old. Oh, could we together only receive an earnestness at that throne of grace, that we may beseech personal blessing upon his word for our salvation and for his glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is thy own word, Lord. It is the foolishness of preaching, but thou hast brought us through. And we acknowledge thee, therefore, oh, could it please thee, to give that our eyes may look to thee as the eyes of a servant looks to his master, and that we, each one of us, may put our hope and our expectation in that living, in that exalted mediator, who is still blessing his church on that sure foundation of his own mediatorial labors. O Lord, remember us in the days in which we live, and then we see the signs upon us that thy coming again, it cannot be so far away, and we may not prophesy, but Lord, teach us to pray. Be with us in this evening, bring us safely again to our places, and remember us when we hope to meet now for a few minutes. And with the male members, Lord, help us. Give us a good meeting, and wilt thou lead us also in these natural things. Forgive and take away all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 420, stanza 4. The Lord is great. His might untold, his chariots thousandfold, his armies ne'er confounded. Among them God with joy displays the glory that in Moses' days Mount Sinai surrounded. And what follows in stanza 4 of Psalter 420.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.